The Springfield Symphony Orchestra is beginning its 75th concert season. Opening night is Saturday at 7:30 at Springfield Symphony Hall. Following a rehearsal Thursday night, I spoke with Kevin Rhodes, the music director and conductor of the orchestra. How do you go about putting together a concert program? What goes into deciding what you're going to play on a given night?
Well, it's all in the context of the entire season, entire seasons. Which pieces haven't we played in a while that are up for renewal? In the course of a year, I like to map out what will be my audience favorites, my hit pieces, you know, your Beethoven 9s, your Carmina Burana's, your Tchaik 5s, the Scheherazade's, all of these works. So I get those into place so that I know I can have the strongest possible box office. And then I start working with those and take pieces that are a little bit less out of the standard repertory and then pieces that are totally out of the standard repertory to kind of make this meal of each evening.
So what is the standard repertoire? What is there some signature pieces that the Springfield Symphony Orchestra is known for?
Sure. On this concert, certainly I think the standard rep piece would be the Gershwin Piano Concerto. Copland and Bernstein are certainly standard names, but certainly the Third Symphony is not played every day. It's a very, very challenging work, particularly for a regional orchestra like ours. Next time up, we'll have Symphony Fantastique. That would certainly count. That one actually is a doubleheader for the anniversary season. Symphony Fantastique and Rachmaninoff Third Piano Concerto. But those are coming with this Remembering Gatsby Foxtrot for Orchestra by Harbison. So I'm kind of drawing upon the waltz from Fantastique and the Foxtrot from Gatsby and putting those together. Later on, you'll have pieces like Italian Symphony, Beethoven 5, both of the Liszt concertos, Mahler 2, Dvorak New World, which was also on the very first concert of the orchestra. So those would be some of the standard reps that I would call.
So who's the audience? Who are you trying to bring into the box office with this?
Well, with the standard rep, I try to bring in the folks that have their favorites, they love their favorites, and maybe they are interested in new pieces that they don't know, maybe they aren't. So I have to give them something comfortable to hold on to. With other works that are a little bit out there, then, you know, that I don't mean out there, but out of the standard repertory, those are appealing to those people. There are people who are really interested in hearing something new and may, if you will, put up with hearing the Mozart Requiem again if they're going to also then hear something really crazy like the Liszt Faust Symphony on the same evening or something, you know.
So how do you go about preparing an orchestra for a concert? Can you give some insight into that without revealing too many trade secrets?
Well, I certainly don't have any secrets, but my first principle is in rehearsal number one, I want to get us all the way through all of the unknown pieces, all of the major works, the concertos, as I was doing here just at the end. Maybe I'll touch on a couple tutti's just to get us back into the piece before the soloist joins us at our second rehearsal this evening. But I think it's very important that when you finish the first rehearsal, you understand the totality of what's in front of you. And now I'm speaking as a musician in the orchestra. So then when we come back tonight, we'll start with the concerto, we'll get that kind of mapped out in its broad strokes, and then we'll dig into details. 20 bars from this moment, 30 bars from that moment, et cetera, et cetera.
And of course, you're dealing with how many professional musicians here?
In this program, I think it must be around 80 on stage.
So that's is that pretty standard size for the orchestra?
Well, I would say that's at the upper end of things. You know, certainly if we have a program that's Dvorak and Brahms, that'll be more like 65 to 70 musicians, you know. So something like the Copland 3, which has, you know, four flutes and four clarinets and all of it, you know, this is a big, big, big work.
Is there a lot of turnover, or are the musicians people that you're familiar working with?
Well, as it turns out, this particular concert is in like the busiest weekend of the fall, actually, because this third weekend in September is when so many orchestras begin their season. So actually, I have a lot of people tonight for this opening concert that I have worked with maybe only once or twice, and a few people that I'm working with for the first time tonight, because all of my regulars are fulfilling obligations in other orchestras. And so the freelance musician scene is such that, you know, you have to sort of balance it out. It's kind of like, that old film, what was it, The Apartment or something, with Shirley MacLaine, where the guy has to see this girlfriend and then that girlfriend and that girlfriend, so all of them feel like they're getting attention. That's how the musician life is with all their different orchestras.
So is it challenging then to come up with a cohesive program with the different musicians, the freelance musicians, as you said?
Well, we have an excellent core of people that join us who are not part of the regular roster. So they come so often that they are like us. And then I'm really relying upon the musicians of the orchestra to help us fill when they can't be there with people who are of a good quality. So of course it is a bit of a challenge to bring everybody into one place. But my own particular career experience has involved so much of this kind of work in Europe with orchestras that have constant rotation. When you are working in an opera house in the German countries, for instance, German-speaking countries, you never play two performances with the same people. So, you know, kind of grabbing a hold and saying, okay, we're going to do it this way. That's just part of the conductor's job.
I noticed you said during the rehearsal that you had listened to some of the recordings from the orchestra.
Yeah,
Are you trying to duplicate the same sound that you've had consistently through the years?
No, I try to always build upon what we did before. And sometimes it can be deceptive because you'll listen to a performance and you'll sometimes have in your head that when you come back to that first rehearsal, it's going to sound like that performance. And of course, it doesn't. So you have to kind of get there again. But a lot of that, I love to review my own performances to find, you know, things I liked, things I didn't like. You know, say, Kevin, what on earth were you thinking? Why did you do that? I'm sure there was a good reason at the time. But I love to revise and reapproach. And that's the great thing about having been doing this as long as I have, is that I have something to build upon, several performances with these same people of certain repertoire. So that's a great thing.
How many concerts are on the schedule for this season, and who are some of the guest musicians that you have?
So we have seven classical programs here, and so starting off is Norman Krieger, pianist, great friend. I'm really looking forward to him coming back. We have for the first time with us Natasha Paremsky, pianist, who's going to do Rachmaninoff 3, amazing, amazing virtuoso. I'm really excited about her having her debut. One of our good old friends here at the Springfield Symphony is Rachel Barton Pine, the violinist, who has such an amazing life story and is such an amazing artist. It's always a thrill when she returns. A young pianist that I first worked with when she was 16, I believe, Claire Huansi. She's the one who's going to do both Liszt concertos in the same program. She last year did an absolutely drop-dead performance of Prokofiev 2. And so I just said, okay, what do you want to do next year that's crazy? And let me think, who else do we have? Well, you know, I find a lot of folks that are, of course, we're not working with a budget the size of the Boston Symphony, so, you know, most of their guests I can't afford. So it's important to find quality artists who, you know, are in your frame of mind, but with whom there's a simpatico sort of chemistry. And that I can say about all of these people that are coming back. We have a really great chemistry, and it's really fun to have them come back and play again.
75 seasons. I know you haven't been here for all of them, but how's this one going to stack up, do you think, in the history of the Springfield Symphony Orchestra?
Oh, I think it's really going to be a great season, a really memorable season. Like I say, for one thing, we have for folks who really love the core repertoire, this is a year practically like no other. There's hardly any other occasion where I would be playing so many top 20 pieces as I am in this season. But at the same time, having a certain focus on newer works, we have, I think throughout the season, I have on virtually every concert except the Mozart, except the Mahler II, along with his Mozart Ave Verum Corpus. Except for that program, every concert has a work written, I think, within the last 25 years. And we're also featuring, I believe it's five American women composers, probably the least seen group of composers in the concert hall. And if I was approaching the same task, say 20 years ago, I want to find pieces written in the last 25 years, there would have been relatively few written by women composers. That it's that new of a thing. And so now when you start to look through works that are made, all of a sudden this was really becoming clear to me that it is now really thankfully, an equal thing, right? And there are as many women as men composers. And I said, but I want to put a spotlight on this fact. So we're combining three of those, sort of starting a series, three of these composers, Amy Beach, certainly not a current composer, Joan Tower and Jennifer Higdon, on the same evening that we will play Scheherazade. So that's sort of giving you the where women are today and where a very famous woman was a long, long time ago, a very different place.
Why are we seeing more women composers all of a sudden?
Well, I think we're seeing women in all kinds of fields that have traditionally been the purview of men. And this is just the one that we're focusing on right at this moment, you know. If you just look at the personnel on stage, that would have been a very different picture in one of the major orchestras, let's say 30 years ago even, right? There wouldn't have been that many women on stage. Certainly over in Europe. I remember when I started in my first opera house in Basel, Switzerland, there was a woman bass player, which was for me nothing special at all, because I had grown up in America and there were all kinds of women playing bass. It was a girl that I went to high school with was always playing bass for me in the musicals I conducted as a kid. Anyway, and so I discovered that this was really kind of a big deal, that there had been articles about her, the first woman bassist in German-speaking country, and this was 1991. And so that's certainly not the case anymore. One of the orchestras with whom I've worked a whole lot over the years is the Orchestra of the Vienna State Opera, otherwise known as the Vienna Philharmonic. And the first 5 years I was conducting them, there were no women in the orchestra. So I've been able to witness this change, this transformation, and it's really a thrilling time to be a part of.
What else do you want to say about the Springfield Symphony Orchestra as it begins its 75th year?
Well, we are one of the luckiest places around because we have one of the great concert halls in the United States. It was built by the same architect who built Boston's very famous Symphony Hall. And there are very few of these places that were built in the early part of the 20th century, 1913. So we have this incredible hall, this incredible acoustic, this collection of musicians who come together for rehearsals and concert, just like a family reunion. And by the time we arrive at Saturday night, it really is an incredibly special, special musical atmosphere. And one I would just love to welcome anyone within earshot to come take advantage of sometime.